Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name's Russ N., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is March 6, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book, wherein there is a solution, and we are on page 23, the second paragraph, starting with "Once in a while, he may tell the truth," ending with "But they often suspect they are down for the count." All right, our readers, for the 12 steps, we have Mars 8, the traditions Vasa O, starting us off and sharing is Colleen M, page 164, Zoe N, our backer reader is Vanessa G, newcomer greeter is Hanietta R, second hour host is Pam SR, and Kathy S is going to take care of the announcements. Share ID for yesterday, Thursday, March 5th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,261. 23,261. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,262. 23,262. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Marzi to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Marzi, gratefully recovered in Virginia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service in my path.
Thanks, Mar. Next up is Vasa O with the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa O. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling from Florida. The 12th tradition of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups. or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems or money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Haynes, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. And I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Thank you, Morgan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year. And for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So we're back, and there's a solution today. We're on page 23, second paragraph, starting with, once in a while, he may tell the truth, ending with, but they often suspect they're down for the count. And Colleen M. is going to read this passage and share for us, and then we'll get it rolling.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much. This is Colleen M., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took the first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. So I had to look up the word malady, and the malady means disease or ailment. So when I read that sentence, once this disease has a real hold, they are a baffled lot, you know, I could not accept. So we're still talking about step one. We're trying to hammer home, you know, the problem. And I could not accept, when I was in my disease, that I had a disease. I wanted so desperately for this to be something that I could learn how to control and manage and fix. We talked yesterday about this is a problem with the mind. Once the food is down, it's this mind that continues to tell me that that I can somehow manage. This obsession can go on to the grave, that, you know, I can fix, manage, and control. And later in the chapter talks a little bit about that. I lost my train of thought. It talks later in the chapter. Oh, let me move on. I can't remember what I was going to say. So I wrote down a little bit of, I had to get rid of my old ideas and they had to be smashed. I needed a new set of glasses. So coming in to the program, getting the food down and working the steps, you know, and I had to do a lot of listening to other people's stories. I had to kind of entrench myself into this this program to be rewired because my old ideas were so strong and so ingrained. And I wanted to treat this program like a diet. You know, I wanted to come in. I wanted you to give me the food plan. You know, I was a great dieter until I wasn't. So, you know, this is again, step one. We are trying to hammer home that this is a disease. And once, you know, the food is an allergy of the body, but then we have this obsession of our minds and that we need a spiritual transformation to cure. So getting to step two, where we can admit that we're without power, that we need a power. And then step three, where I'm willing to turn my life and will over to a power greater than myself. That's when my spiritual transformation took place and I could start seeing things more clearly. So I'm anxious to hear what all of you guys have to say about this paragraph. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thanks, Colleen. All right, now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. And so if you share on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Now others get a chance to share. I need your first name, first initial of the last name, where you're calling in from. And throughout the meeting, I'll time you, and I'll let you know where we're at throughout the meeting. Who's up?
Rachel
Florida.
K. Rachel,
you know.
Nicole,
Rick J. So, somebody from Florida, Rachel K.
Pat
B.
It's Pat H. in Florida.
Okay.
Rick J.
Who was that? Okay, I got you, Rick. Janet. Once again, the person from Florida was Pat from Florida, I think.
Yeah.
And then I think I heard Ian. And I think CK too. I think I heard that.
Nicole S.
Nicole.
Sandy S.
CR.
Sandy S. Kelsey, right? I think that's a pretty good one. Now let me make sure I got these. So I got Pat H, Rachel K. Rick J, Janet B, Ian F, I think it was, CK, Nicole S, Sandy S, and Kelsey R. All right, Pat H, you are up. And if you're not Pat H, please mute your phone.
Hello?
Yep. All right, Pat, star one, please. Star one, please, Pat. All right, I'm going to jump to Rachel K, and then we'll go back to Pat. Rachel, you're up.
Hi, thanks, Russ. This is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana. And thank you, Colleen, for your opening share. That was beautiful. And this paragraph, the first line of it reminded me of that joke. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, that line, that how do you know when an addict is lying? And the answer is his lips are moving. And that's so true, because when I am in the food, you know, it's a rare occasion when I tell the truth, because I am a liar. And why am I a liar? Because the disease lies. The other thing, the other sentence in this paragraph that caught my eye was, once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. And where else in the text do we see baffled? You know, that remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Remember that we deal with, you know, food or the compulsion to eat, cunning, baffling, and powerful. It is, you know, I underestimate this disease at my peril if I do not recognize that, you know, that it is cunning, meaning that it's going to lie to me. It is going to speak in my voice. It'll sound like me. It'll sound like, you know, my better angel, but it is not. It is lying. It will lie, lie, lie. It wants me dead. And if it doesn't kill me, it'll settle for me being miserable. And baffling, like it says, once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. I am never going to understand why. And as has been said, you know, the past several days, why is not a spiritual question? You know, I'm baffled because I don't understand why. Why me? Why do I always do this? Why do I keep on going back? Why? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that God can get me out of this hole. Only God can dig me out. And powerful, you know, the disease, as I said, the disease is powerful, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. You know, only God is going to be able to defeat, because I can't, you know, I can't defeat it. That, you know, only God can pull me out, can defeat the cunning, baffling, and powerful malady. But they often suspect they are down for the count. I am, you know, I have to have complete and utter surrender. I have to say, you know, to my higher power, you take it. You know, you do that. You guide my life, because I am a mess. Unless I absolutely 100% surrender, there is no hope for me. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
All right, Rich, thank you. So Pat H., we're going to go back to you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi, thank you. This is Pat H. Calling from Cape Coral, Florida. Apologize, I took my earbuds off and lost everybody. So I have to explain why, of course. And just shocked by, well, not shocked, but impressed, I guess, by the last two pages, I counted 8 words why. And that is where I keep going back to, why. And this is not an intellectual program or exercise to figure out why. Was I born this way? Was it the way my mother cooked? Was it, you know, my stresses in my life? It doesn't matter. And I will never know. So I have to let go of the whys and know that this is a spiritual program, that God knows why. And God has the reasons, and I have to let go of trying to understand, figure out, which is my mode of operation. I can figure it out. You know, I'm smart, so I think I can get this and know why. And if I know why, then I can fix it, right? But the truth is, I can't. I am powerless over this disease, but my higher power has the power. And when I turn to him and when I ask, I get what I need. I get the help. I get the power. So thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thanks, Pat. Next up is Rick J, followed by Janet B.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service, brother. Rick J here. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. The obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. And I had that obsession a little bit more further down the road in the book on page 30. You know, it really goes in a little bit deeper. And, you know, it's... Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. So yeah, that's part of the obsession. That's part of the obsession of the mind, my mind. That was part of my obsession, is that I can control this. And my attempts to control this compulsion to eat again, knowing that once I ate, I couldn't stop, but unable to stop from starting, you know? And it's the key ingredient for the gift of desperation. If I truly can control something, then there's no desperation, but it's my countless attempts to control it and that constant defeat of the vicious cycle, the terrible cycle, kicking in once more. You know, after a while, it's like, how long can I go on like this? And, you know, I can descend through many levels of hell, you know, like the old saying, you know, there's a bottom below the bottom, you know, and eventually I found a bottom that was enough for me. So it's so wonderful to know that I am no longer part of that terrible cycle. The only thing that's keeping me from that first compulsive bite is connection with a power that overwhelms the obsession. But once I take the first bite, you know, the physical allergy kicks in, and I know that. But I don't try to control that now with foods that I know are going to kick in and trigger, you know, the terrible cycle, the physical allergy. So anyway, thanks for being here. I feel like I'm not being very articulate this morning, but I am so grateful that the obsession that somehow, someday, I will beat the game is no longer a part of my life. It's a part of my recovery. It's a part of my solution. I know that now. And I know that obsession, with, if I'm not spiritually connected, will lead me back to that first compulsive bite. And today, I am free. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick. Pretty articulate to me. I wish I could spell that word. All right, next up is Janet B., followed by Ian F.
Good morning, Ross. Good morning, everyone. Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So that line, once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. I was thinking about, okay, what's the malady? Later on in chapter 5, they say, once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Tells me that this malady that I have, its roots is spiritual. And of course, right, in chapter 5, it says the roots of this illness, selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think are the roots of this illness. And I'm thinking about, like, the roots on a tree, we don't see them. They're underground, right? So I could be totally selfish and self-centered to my roots, but it's not visible. But what's visible are my fruits. The resentments, the fears, and all the harms, the wreckage that I've caused in my life. What can I do about it? Again, in our book, it says we can't entirely get rid of self on our own. So even though I would say I want to be less selfish, I want to be a good person, and I truly did. I wanted to be a better person, but I couldn't. It says we couldn't without God's help. And so how does God help me, right? Because I prayed earnestly. I prayed, God, please make me stop binging. Please make me stop binging. And I would also pray, God, please let me not be so selfish, because I knew I was selfish. And I got nowhere. Because I later learned our book says either God is everything or else he's nothing. So I couldn't just pick and choose and say, God, help me with this, help me with that. I had to give God everything. Take my food, take my relationships, take the way I do my income tax, take all of it, and then give me the power and the ability to do things your way.
And I have found that only a life totally surrendered to a loving God, because God is loving, and we can find this loving God in the pages of this book if we look for all the descriptions of him, that's when the miracle happens. Once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. The way this book tells us to overcome this spiritual malady is to surrender to God, to try to do his will, and then our minds start working and we stop obsessing with.
All right, Janet, I think you ended there.
I'm done. Thanks.
All right, cool. You kind of patched out there. All right. So before Ian jumps up here, let me let you know where we're at if you got on the meeting a little later. When there's a solution, page 23, and it's the second paragraph, starting with once in a while, he may tell the truth, and it ends with, they often suspect they're down for the count. So we're just sharing on that paragraph. Ian F., you're up, brother.
Thank you, Russ. Appreciate your service. My name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater in Indiana. I was raised on a lot of psychology, and one of the things that really killed me in this disease is that I always wanted to know the why, and somebody brought that up before, and it's really salient, because that is always the trap that I get stuck in, is I need to understand the causation, you know. And as it says, have no way of figuring that out, you know, and the reason that this program saved me is because it skips causation. It doesn't answer, like, why did this disease come up? When did it come up? What are the psychological roots? None of that. I mean, if you look at the chapter, it's called There is a Solution, right? It's more about alcoholism. Here's the problem you have, and here's how we're going to solve it. We don't need to worry about the why. You know, and that has helped me so much. Helped me with the food, and it also helps me in my recovery too. I get stuck in these places all the time of like, man, I feel really restless and irritable and discontent or depressed or, you know, whatever words I put to it. And I always try to like figure it out. I try to, you know, and the book calls that morbid reflection. But I always end up more confused than when I started, and more depressed and more restless and more discontent than when I started. You know, and what the program asks us to do is let God figure that stuff out, right? Here's some actionable things you can do. And I found that we say work the program like your hair is on fire. What that means really is just like, know that you're not going to be able to figure this out. So here's a whole bunch of actions that you can take, you know, being the inventory and the meditation and the prayer and the amends and, you know, the rest of the program, right? When you get to that step three decision, right? That's what's ahead of you. I'm still trying, and I think we're all still trying to, like, let go of that, the why, and trust that God's going to figure stuff out. That's just not my job, because I will always be baffled. That's what I got. I love you guys. I'll pass.
Thanks, E. Appreciate it. Next up is CK, followed by Nicole S.
Peace, family. This is CK in California. Today I have 509 days. I'm grateful, and I'm a real Bill. You know, Bill drink oceans and oceans of alcohol, and I ate mountains and mountains of food. And my challenge today is to be like Bill was in recovery, you know, to be of maximum service. So the line, the word somehow, someday, those are really sticking out to me this morning. Somehow, someday. Somehow, someday. Yeah. That's the CK way. You know, I grew up dreaming that somehow, someday, I would escape the violent, chaotic, traumatic household and neighborhood I grew up in. And propelled by food and self-will, I made it out of that hell that I didn't create. But then I started creating my own versions of hell and thought food and self-will would help me escape those hellish situations too. And that worked. Me creating hellish situations and then using food to get out of them, using self-will to get out of them. And then that worked. And in and out of these rooms, I thought that was working. And, you know, it was because I was living in a constant state of delusion that I was in charge, you know. It took me like 13 years to surrender and give up the CK way for a better way. It took 13 years for me to get enough days to finally get a one-year chip in this program. And you'll hear from others in the program, too. They've been around for decades and finally got 6 months, you know. And it's, and the question is, why? Why? Why did it take me so long? Because the truth is, you know, I thought I knew some shit. You know, I thought I knew how to get through life. You know, I thought I knew the way. And the truth is, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I was doing. My life was so unmanageable. And finally surrendered. I was so miserable. I finally surrendered and called out for help. I asked my higher power to please help me. Help me. I'm creating hell all over the place, not only for myself, but everybody around me. I need help. And finally gave up the CK way and started working the OA program. And so grateful for that. So grateful I accepted spiritual help instead of just continuing to blot out my miserable circumstances. So grateful I have a higher power today who is loving and gentle and never gives up on me, is always there for me. And I can't do anything in this life unless I make my relationship with my higher power the most important relationship, the most important thing in my life. It has to be the most important thing in my life, or I'll never be satisfied with my life. I'm so grateful I know that today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, CK. Appreciate it. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Sandy S.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And as I said, paragraph describes me so much. Just that I had no idea why I kept going back to the food over and over. I was really baffled. And it reminds me on page 6 with, you know, Bill's story. In no time I was beating on the bar asking myself how it happened. And just like, how did this happen again? And having that obsession that over and over somehow someday, you know, I will do better. Just like, you know, Bill said, I told myself I would manage better next time. And then, you know, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness and of what I did, you know, how I was eating, how I could not stop. And just not realizing that that this is a malady. It's an illness, a disease, a disorder. And for quite a few years being in OA, never being told once that, you know, we have to put the food down. And I remember just praying to God and asking God to remove this, to just take it away. And I still saw, I was really ashamed before God, though, because I still saw this as I just had to quit doing this. I had to have more self-control and thought God had too big of things to worry about than this thing that I have control over and I just need to do better next time. So I really was down for the count. I could not beat the game. And then I realized, you know, God really does want to help me. It's my relationship with him that I have to rightly relate to him. And he really wants to help me with this and give me recovery, because when I'm recovered, I can you know, be of better use to him by helping others. So I'm so grateful. Just like in the title, there is a solution. I am down for the count on my own resources, but God, you know, God, when I rightly relate to him and, you know, admit I have this illness, I'll never not have this malady. But I do have a higher power that's going to help me day by day, moment by moment. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nicole. Next up is Sandy S., followed by Kelsey R.
Hi, this is Sandy S., recovering compulsive overeater. I haven't shared in about many months, and I just want to say that March 3rd was 50 years of recovery with a food, which is amazing. But I think what I wanted to share is I'm not sure how to be of service in this meeting, even though I have incredible recovery with the food. I mean, it's the healthiest part of my life. And what's not healthy, though, is the underlying, the roots of the compulsive overeating. You know, I did qualify once on a special edition. I was never asked again because I totally get it. An outside issue. And I'm just going to quote from the big book. There are those too who have grave emotional and mental disorders, but they can recover if they have the capacity to be honest. So when people are speaking, I'm not thinking about the food. I'm not thinking about the food in terms of old ideas need to be smashed. The old idea that I have is that there is something so wrong with me because I am so emotional. I am so overreactive. And the truth is that God is healing me, but definitely very, very slowly. I think the most important lie that I tell myself is that I'm no good. Another lie was, oh, I have nothing to share on the phone. But here's the truth. I have the best external life I've ever had. I'm living in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I moved from Asheville. I've been living with the most incredible man after my husband died, and he was incredible. So during this 50 years of abstinence, even though I don't have the real inner peace I want, I definitely have the real deal in terms of love, external love. So what I'm really asking God, what I really need to surrender is the self-hate. And I'm just hoping that happens. And I'm willing to do anything. I am desperate. I'm 78. And I just want to have some real inner peace before I leave the planet. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Sandy. All you got to do is contact the heavy hitters that organize the meeting. They always look for service. So, all right, next up is Kelsey R., and then we'll take another list.
Hey, guys. This is Kelsey R., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Oh, the truth. Once in a while, I may tell the truth. My heart knows that. I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. That's the truth. But knowing that I have a mental obsession whose main goal is to separate me from the sunlight of the spirit and believe the lie that the food will be better than being disconnected. The reality, for a girl like me, the reality is that disconnected from God, I have no choice but to eat. The book tells me again and again and again that lack of power is my problem and that my only effective defense must come from my power. And it's important for me to put this up on a billboard because I can't seem to get my attention any other way of what this looks like in a recovered state. It was shown to me that it looks a lot like thinking I can sponsor myself. That I don't need to do a 10 on that, which is what allows me to clear the channel, right, of the buildup of emotion, which I call step 10 is the garbage disposal. That has to be, I have to flip the switch, and that switch is the step 10. We all know what it's like to fill the sink up and not turn the garbage disposal on. Nothing drains. Nothing goes down. And if I don't flip that switch by 10 a.m., we got a problem. and it's the same thing. I have to release the buildup. And then it could look like, I don't need to get up when my alarm goes off to connect with God because I feel better. Because all I want to do as an addict is just feel, like, my feelings determined everything for so long. Because if I feel better, then I don't have to do as much. Or I'm tired. Or fill in the blank, even though I know that with every part of my heart that God is my only hope to experience contentment in any way throughout the day. So this is to fill the channel. I have to fill the channel. If I'm going to empty it out, I better fill it up with good stuff. And then in step 12, it looks like I can reschedule my sponsee calls. I need to call people back to give back to this program who gave so much to be part of God's relentless search and rescue mission for me. Which, if I listen to these thoughts, I will not be able to be a channel for God's love and God's light for others. So what's the truth? My boys say, here's the real thing. They're five. They go, Mom, here's the real thing. This is the real thing. Not participating in these daily spiritual disciplines rob me of everything. And what that looks like on a daily basis is have a good day. And so I just have to be disciplined by what's outlined in this book, and then I can have a life without it.
All right. Thanks, Kelsey. Seven. I think we could take four more. So if you didn't share on Wednesday and Thursday, okay. We're going to get Nancy.
Sally A.
Hold on. Nancy P. Nadia. I got you.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa, if we could get you, we'll get you. All right. In there. All right. Nancy P., you are up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered actually today in Connecticut. So, I don't care about malady. I don't care about that anymore. I don't question it. It's just something that – it's not really a malady anymore. It's a condition. I was talking to my sponsor this morning. I have a condition, and it's never going away. It doesn't matter how recovered or unrecovered I am. I've got this condition. So my only problem or my main problem in my whole life is the concept of beating the game. You know, sit, call it what you will, get something for nothing, skate, whatever. You know, I always want to beat the game. And mostly I don't do that anymore. I certainly don't try to beat the game with food. It's a slog sometimes. Like I buy what I need, I make what I need, I eat what I should, and I don't eat what I shouldn't eat, and, you know, it's not good for me. So that's done. That's a done deal. But I'm always, you know, I do a written 11-step inventory every single night, and one of the questions is, were we afraid? And I'm always, it's always something, you know, and not 99% of the time. And yesterday, I'm in Connecticut today because I take very advanced sewing classes, and for some reason, Nancy P. was in such a rush to get here first that I forgot, or I decided that I didn't need to bring either fabric or patterns. And so that I had a reason to think that. And then it became obvious that I was going to need both. So I drove all the way back home last night and then all the way back here last night to get what I needed. And, you know, I forgot that, in fact, my destination is one thing. The journey, like I'm on the road. That's it. I'm on the road, and I'm never going to get anywhere. This is where I'm going to stay, and that over the past, I'm in my ninth year now. I haven't had to hurt myself with food in 9 years, and my feelings haven't owned me in 9 years. However, yesterday I did have a small, tiny little rage fest. But in general, I act appropriately, and I don't say or do inappropriate things, and I'm not interested in why anymore. I could care less. You know what? You know, that's, to me, asking the question why is like counting pebbles when there's an avalanche coming. I'm not interested. I'm just going to get the heck out of the way, and I want to be a riverbed. I want my life to flow over me, whatever it is. And my attitude is I choose to be optimistic, and I'll say that out loud. I choose to be optimistic, and I have been amazed all over again, beyond amazed, gobsmacked with what I get when I choose to be optimistic, what comes to me. And all of this is hard work. Like, I'm very OCD about how many meetings I go to, how many phone calls I go to, how I make, you know, sponsees. I don't blow things off. I keep my commitments right. It says in the doctor's briefing, you can rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. And today, that's my favorite line in the book, because today my word is good. I don't try to beat the game with that stuff. I don't try to fudge. So thank you so much, Russ, for your service. And, you know, I got there for one reason and one reason only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Marty E, followed by Sally A.
Hey, family. Good morning. It's Nadia E from Toronto. You know what? I have to go back to the set aside prayer. You know, I just say, God, today help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. So I don't have to look any further. All I have to do is seek my higher power every day, get on my knees, surrender resentment, selfishness, self-seeking behaviors, the lies I tell myself, or dishonesty, and fears. And I will be okay. I'm going to suit up and show up and be the best Nadia I can be with my higher power. Love you guys. Have a great day, and bye for now.
Thanks, Nadia. Next up is Sally A, followed by Herbert F, and we might be able to get Vanessa if we do this right.
Okay, I'll do my best. It's Sally A, and I'm in Dallas, Texas at this moment. I'm so happy to be on the meeting, and thank you, Rick. I want to speak to that first line, once in a while, he may tell the truth. And thank you all for these great shares. It's been a great meeting for me to hear. It's great medicine for my day. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. This is a very important foundation for me. I remember when I was, you know, I've been in the program over 40 years, and I have had so many years of frustration. So I'm speaking to those who are frustrated, approaching a year of abstinence. I honestly didn't want to come back to this program because I really gave up. And this is the thing. For a long time, page 58, paragraph 5, used to really haunt me. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not be honest. And I thought for sure this has to be me, because I'm a New Yorker, I'm Italian, I am a petty larcenist, I am such a liar. I had a sponsor once say to me, laughing, "You're such a liar." And it's the truth. That's like a big part for me. But honestly, the foundation for my recovery, besides, of course, the fact that I gave up and I just let it be God's, you know, God's work, and I just stopped trying so hard, and I just started saying, "Don't help me. Just do it for me." But in all honesty, I am very willful. I have gone to my sponsor trying to take back my trigger food so many times. Can I have this? Can I just try? Other people have this. And my sponsor will tell me, "Wow, you are so willful. You already know, you've already tried, and you can't have that because it whittles at you." And that's the truth. When I don't call my sponsor and tell my sponsor, and basically lie as long as I can, just keep to myself that I had something that's not in my food plan or that's not, then that dishonesty whittles at me. My sloppiness whittles at my abstinence. I find myself perseverating about the fact that I'm lying to my sponsor. But who am I really lying to? I'm lying to me, and I'm lying about what's really happening to me. Why am I going to the food? And so ultimately, it's humbling to call my sponsor and say, I'm struggling. I want this. And to be willing to hear the words, man, you are so willful. It's humbling. So honesty is a foundation. And being willful is not being willing.
Time.
And humbling is crucial. And I would love to go on, but everybody have a great day.
All right. So thank you, Sally. If Herbert and Vanessa could take two and a half minutes apiece, we'd be good to go. You're up, Herbert. Star one, Herb.
Thank you, Russ. Sorry about that. I'm
yep.
Herbert F., recovered compulsive overeater from Santa Fe, New Mexico. So the question of the day has been why? Why am I a compulsive overeater? And the book is teaching me that I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And knowing that helps me release the guilt and the shame and just let go of trying to answer that question. It is what it is. And that's been the most powerful lesson really of understanding at least this answer to help me just put that behind me, you know, to not beat myself up anymore. And I have a lot of other unanswerable questions about why, and why is there disease in the world? Well, my answer is from my higher power. Well, Herbert, go out and just live a healthy lifestyle. You know, why is there war in the world? Well, Herbert, just go out and do what you can to bring peace to other people as best as you can. You know, why is my boss such a jerk? Well, when I go to work, just be the leader that I want to be. So trying to answer the question why I'm able to set that aside at least a little bit and to be able to move forward in my life. And with the principles and the steps in my recovery, I'm able to live the life that I want to as imperfectly as I do. Another thing I'm learning about this book is that it teaches me, it's encouraging me to seek out other books. And one of the outside reading I'm doing now is all about finding your why. So the irony is one book is telling me to give up trying to answer the question why, and the other book that I'm reading to help grow my spiritual life and find my purpose, the book tells me that my purpose is to be of service to other people. And so I've come up with my personal vision statement about it, and it's very much inspired, completely inspired by step three. So my personal vision statement is to discover the healing power of God in my life so I can help other people realize the healing power of God in their lives. And that has been a beautiful thing and to give me a reason to wake up in the morning every day. That is my purpose, my cause, my belief to spread recovery and to spread the healing of God in my life. And so it's been quite a blessing. So I guess I'll just leave it this way. Why not? Why not get recovered? So just go out and do it, and God bless everyone. Thanks. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Herbert. Next up is Vanessa G. You're going to be our final share, and we have 2.5 minutes for you.
Okay. This is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And the line in this paragraph that really sticks out to me is down for the count, suspecting I'm down for the count. When I was a kid, my dad once or twice took me with him to go watch, you know, the fights. And down for the count meant that one of the fighters had been knocked to the ground and couldn't get back up, and the referee would count to 10. And if he didn't get back up, he was considered knocked out. And to me, I think that might be I don't know exactly what the reference is in the big book, but to me, it refers to the fatality of this disease. You know, the death that can occur as a result of following our addiction right into the grave. And, but there's another kind of knockout, and that's a technical knockout. And that's when one of the fighters just stops fighting, stops trying to raise a defense, and just gets called out of the boxing match because he can't fight anymore. And I think that's in that moment between a technical knockout and a regular knockout is where I surrender to this program and I embrace the steps for, you know, just in terms of my eating, and let God take the fight. Just let God take the fight. And so far, I'm winning because someone else is fighting for me, someone with infinite power and infinite grace. And the only way out is to stop raising, you know, stop the fight and let God take over. And I think that's all I have to share. I really appreciate the people on this meeting. You guys showed me how to stop fighting and let God take over by working the steps as outlined in this book. Thanks for letting me share, Ruth. Everybody have a great day.
Thanks, Vanessa. Appreciate it. Thank you to everyone in Shared who did service and who's helping us out this month. All right. Please join us for an unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's Shared, the Friday, the 6th of March, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,264. 23,264. And Zoe N's going to read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep it to that. And then we're going to pray the Serenity Prayer.
Good morning, Zoe N from New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.